Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I am here today to discuss a new season of Big Brother. It's not Big Brother All-Stars, it's Big Brother Australia. And with me to talk about Big Brother Australia is Sir Rob Cesternino himself. How you doing, Rob?
Yes. Hey, what's going on? Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, I just want to get this podcast started. Give you a nickname. How about T-Dizzle?
T-Dizzle. All right. What's do we have a handshake?
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you like to massage me?
I don't think I'm allowed to answer that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yes. We're going to talk about Big Brother Australia. Now, typically, these, non-US versions of Big Brother, they have gone the way of audience votes. That's typically how the game works. But Big Brother Australia was actually, I believe it was canceled a few years ago, and they have decided to revive it with some revamped rules. And it seems as though what they're going for is some kind of hybrid between like the regular Big Brother Australia format with like a little bit of Survivor and a little bit of like US Big Brother.
Yes, that are American ideals of Big Brother democratic voting has spread first to Canada, now to Australia. It's sweeping the world.
Yes. I wonder if there's going to be some pushback. It's going to be a Cold War of Big Brother format.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But this was fun to get to jump in here and watch the first episode of Big Brother Australia and come on and talk about it with you.
Yes, we'll be talking about the premiere episode and just kind of discussing like why you might be interested in watching this show and why we were interested in watching this show. I think collectively as a Big Brother community kind of jumped on board with Big Brother Canada when that started. We kind of took a risk and went for it, and it turned out to be pretty great. And so there's some hope here. This is the next iteration of Big Brother with the format of an actual competitive game where they're voting each other out and there's social strategy. And so people have liked Big Brother Australia in the past as well, that their casting has supposedly been very good, and that even without people not voting each other out people have liked the show a lot. And so it seemed like that maybe something is going to be going on here.
Yeah. Taryn, so Big Brother around the world, it seems like that UK had been the staple of Big Brother for getting it started, I believe. Although I don't quote me on that.
I think it started in the Netherlands.
Yeah, it started, but highly popular in the UK. It no longer exists in the UK, correct?
Yes, I think the house burned down.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then the Australian version ended up running its course. But now, you know, excited to see more and more versions of Big Brother popping up here. And this was I thought that, this, you know, better than expected in terms of like what I was preparing to get from Australian Big Brother.
Yeah, it turns out it was actually the Australian Big Brother house that burned down. This is a brand new one, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I feel like that most seasons, the American Big Brother house is often the threat of being burned to the ground by the people that watch Big Brother.
Yes, the rabid fan base.
So that's possible that that's what happened. We don't know.
Very possible. Yeah, I mean, it's I think, you know, when I first heard about this, I think I had higher expectations. You know, the idea that Australian Survivor has been very good, very successful. And so the idea that they were going to implement these new rules for Big Brother and they were going to take on Big Brother season, I was very excited about it. And then we found out that it's all going to be pre-recorded, which is very Survivor and not very Big Brother. So that means no live feeds. Everything is, you know, already done. They were filming this months ago. And then on top of that, it's the audience is going to determine the winner once they get down to the final three, which I was also not a fan of. So my expectations were tempered a bit, that I was like, oh, I don't know if I agree with these decisions. And so I'm going to be a little more skeptical heading in.
Totally understand why you would feel that way. But in a vacuum, that worked out pretty well for us in terms of there being a Big Brother season that did not get canceled because of coronavirus. And that is airing now at a time when we have no other Big Brother to look at in the entire world. So timing wise, it worked out well this way, even if it's not the ideal format for a Big Brother season.
For sure. Yeah, definitely worked out. And, you know, we're giving it a shot here. So, you know, what I found interesting in this first episode is that it did. Now, I haven't watched like a full season of a, you know, BB UK or anything like that before. But I have watched like episodes here and there. I've watched clips. And it definitely felt like that, version of the show. Very, like the pacing is a bit slower. They focus in on like the details a little more. You really, which, you know, there are some good things and bad things about that. But I think it really helps you get into the space of like what it's actually like to walk through the door as they try to figure out which direction to go. And like just like all the minutiae of, you know, entering the house, finding out where things are. This is not the like fast paced sound effects, constant diary room sound sessions explaining what's happening kind of version of the show.
Yeah, to me, I felt like that this seemed more like a hybrid of BB UK and Big Brother Canada. I felt like that if sort of like if Big Brother Canada is sort of like somewhere on the spectrum between BB US and BB UK, I feel like that this was somewhere on that spectrum in between the Big Brother Canada and Big Brother UK.
Mm-hmm. And we also like introducing the cast is a bit weird. So in the first episode, we get the first 12 people to be entered to enter the house. And then in the second episode, four more people join. And then in the third episode, four additional people will join to make a total of 20. So in this first episode, we get
20. We're going to get to 20.
Yeah.
I was shocked at the end of the first episode that they said four more were coming in tomorrow.
Right.
I didn't know another four were coming in after that.
Yeah, and this is, I think this is a very common theme in these kinds of, you know, versions of Big Brother where the audience is voting. Like, you might as well just introduce new people, shake things up. It definitely seems a little weirder with the voting going on. I'm not sure why they wouldn't just put them all in at once. You know, I think, again, it's very much this sort of hybrid, you know, of other things. And so I think this is an example of that. But so we're introduced to the first 12 people in this premiere. And yet they really focus in on, I think, a select few of them, you know, on Big Brother that we're used to watching it. Like every single person gets a package and we're introduced to them and they tell us who they are and what they do. And we hear, see from them at home and we watch them all, you know, walk in.
Yes.
In this one, I felt like a few of the people that I don't even know if I saw them walk in.
Yeah, they really yada yada'd some of the people. Some people got like a very big entrance and package like you would expect like in a Big Brother US season, or Big Brother UK does like a really good job of introducing the people, and they have a really big, I think they call them a VT of their whole package of what they're like in the outside world. There were some people that they were just like in the house. I was like, oh, there's another person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I gotta see if I can catch their name later.
Yeah, and then other people were introduced to that. Alan.
Yes.
That was yeah. Alan's introduction.
That was Alan. He loves hearing his own name.
He really does. He really does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like we said, there's some interesting stuff here. So the first person to come into the house who gets one of the bigger packages in terms of introduction was Kieran. And he's a very big fan of the show. And he gets in there. He's very excited. They call him to the diary room. And this is an element of this version of the show that I do really like, which is the voice of Big Brother speaks to them in the DR.
Yes. Yes. So the Big Brother in this particular house, it seems like is almost kind of like a counselor to the house guests. That I feel like that in the UK, you know, the Big Brother in the house is, you know, is very like interactive and playful. But I felt like that like this Big Brother is giving like pep talks often to the house guests.
Yeah. Well, pep talks, sometimes trolling them a little bit. Sometimes
sometimes like roasting them.
Yeah, sometimes really roasting them. I like this. I like that there is sort of something to bounce off of. And I also like that it means that like there's somebody to narrate and to host that isn't the house guest, like somebody who like is actually going to be a good narrator and a good host instead of having to rely on. So in this competition, we have to do this. It's I think it's a good choice, and it's one that I you know, it would be weird if they introduced this to BBUS, you know, 22 seasons in, but I wouldn't mind experimenting with it.
I think that's an easy experiment that they could pull off that I think would help things, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And it's fun. Like it's a funny voice. I think I've seen that this
could
is
the announcer guy.
Right? Yeah. give him the role here. This Big Brother voice is going to talk to Kieran and let him know that he has a secret mission that he needs to accomplish. And this is a big staple of these, you know, non-BB, should I call them? It feels weird calling them foreign versions of the show. It makes me feel very US, you know, centric,
yes.
But,
yes.
I don't have another easy way to describe, all the different variations. But this is a staple, secret missions, big thing. And I like secret missions in general. I think that, they've been well implemented on Big Brother Canada in the past. And so, yes. I was kind of excited. I was like, ooh, okay, secret mission already. This should be fun.
Yeah. And there's a ton of secret missions in BBUK.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's always like somebody that's also like working to thwart the secret mission where it would have been like that they would give the other house guests like, all right, when you go into the house, don't let anybody give you a nickname. Well, no matter what, make sure no one gives you a nickname or a massage.
They should have done
okay,
that.
Okay, got it. They like to have like people at odds with their secret missions.
No, I don't accept T-Dog as my nickname.
Good, because it was T-Dizzle.
So Kieran has a secret mission. He has to give each person a nickname, give each person a high five, and also give each person a massage, which right away I was like, ooh, that feels weird to me.
Yeah, not great. not great that they ended up putting Kieran in this position. I mean, luckily that no massage, quote unquote massage, lasts longer than 1.5 seconds.
Yeah, so. I think he recognized that. Like,
yeah,
just gonna basically go through the motions here. I don't want to make yeah. anyone uncomfortable.
You're gonna get a pat on the back from Kieran. That's gonna constitute a Kieran massage.
Yeah, it felt like a little bit of a mistake, though. I feel like there are other things that you can do that don't involve somebody putting their hands on somebody in a massaging yep. way.
Well, you know, in fairness, there's a few things here that aren't great to kick off the premiere of. In a vacuum, I think you change a few things.
Mm-hmm. And then they add on about like halfway through that he also has to make a handshake, like a secret handshake yeah. with everyone.
He wasn't doing enough. He got in trouble.
Yeah. Which, I don't know. The secret handshake seemed like it fell flat. I don't even know if we saw more than like one of them, mm-hmm. actually happen because once you get to that point, it feels really put on. Like I'm sure they all knew. Anybody that's seen the show at this point knows that there's a mission happening.
Yeah, the one person is being very peculiar, and yeah, he's really put out there in the like Australia's player role to kick things off, Kieran.
Mm-hmm. I think a little bit of a miss here for the first secret task. I think hopefully they get better over time. I've definitely Tim Dormer came from BB mm-hmm. Australia, and apparently he had some really great secret tasks in his season, and so I have high expectations for these secret tasks, even though the first one felt like a miss.
Yeah, so not that big of a deal. The stakes were that everybody had to sleep outside. I don't know, were they gonna blame him? That was Big Brother gonna say like, actually everybody, Kieran had a secret task, he failed, and now you have to sleep outside?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you have to blame the person that calls it out, right? Because usually what happens with these secret tasks, having watched Big Brother Canada at least, is that it becomes fairly obvious that a secret task is happening. And it's just upon your shoulders to not call it out, to act like you don't know that it's happening, and so that the person can succeed, so that you can get the reward.
Yeah. Is there ever a time, like, do house guests ever talk about like, hey, if I'm ever acting really weird, like I'm just going to say the word pineapple and then just go with whatever I'm saying.
But they'd call them out. They'd call you out. They'd be like, hey, I heard that.
You have to whisper it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that would be a good move if you could do that.
Maybe it's happened and we just haven't heard it because they were off mic and they were whispering.
Yeah, we have to see if there's ever any other future Big Brother seasons where people just seem like they're going with something very unusual for no good reason.
Yeah, I was just watching Big Brother Canada 5 with Kevin and Bruno last night, and they were just showing the task where Kevin and Karen had to get people's clothes. And it was very obvious what Karen was doing, and they were all pretending that they didn't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did she say pineapple?
She didn't, but she did say,
can I have your scarf pineapple?
She did just like shove a glass of wine into Dylan's chest, and he was like, why did you do that to me? But
I'm gonna need that belt, okay?
Yeah. Can I have your socks, please?
Yeah, and give those shorts to that Kevin Martin.
So let's talk about some of the cast members here. So we've got Kieran. He seems, yeah. Eager.
It's fine.
Yeah. Then we have
super fan.
Yes. I think one of the stars so far seems to be Ian, who says that he is here to improve his social skills, and that he is a bit of a loner, and he likes the outdoors. He likes, fossils and stuff.
Yeah. Is he a paleontologist? Is he an archaeologist? Why does he have so many fossils?
I think he just likes them.
Yeah, he brings a backpack full of fossils to the house.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. He grew up in the bush as an only child and he developed a fascination with ecology and biology, and his parents were geologists.
Geologists. Okay, so that's why he has so many fossils.
Yes.
Can you have any fossils?
I can't say that I do.
Yeah, I wouldn't want any, even if somebody was giving me free fossils.
What do you do with them?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, thanks for the rock.
Yeah. I mean, I look, if people want to come for me being anti-fossil, I'll take it.
Can you donate fossils to a museum?
It belongs in a museum.
Yeah.
Not in a backpack.
Does somebody want this? Does somebody need to study this? Like,
doesn't belong in the Big Brother house. Ian.
Oh man, yeah, we need to get at some point during the season there's going to be somebody sneaking into the house in order to steal away the fossils. Rescue them.
Ian had a lobster toy and the host Sonia asked him about it. He's bringing his stuffed lobster and Sonia said, does it have a name? And Ian's like, no. How does this lifelong stuffed animal does not have a name?
Who needs names when you don't have anybody else to talk to?
I guess so.
You don't need to specify who you're talking to if there's nobody else around.
She says, can I call him Squiddy? And he's like, okay, but he's a lobster, isn't he?
I don't know. He looked a little squiddy to me.
But was he a squid and not a lobster?
In my memory, it could be either one.
Yeah. Okay.
I did like the host. What was her name?
Sonia.
Yes. She seemed fun. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show.
Taryn, at some point, is Squiddy sitting in the HOH chair giving a confessional?
I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah, the diary room chair, I should say.
Yeah. Yes. So talking to Big Brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There he is. And he got no package, but came later. Later on, we got his intro.
Mm-hmm. And he seems nice. He seems funny. He came in with a backpack instead of a suitcase.
Yeah. Made history.
Yeah. Somebody needs to do that on Big Brother US. It'll stand out.
Mm-hmm. Come in with a backpack. Maybe that's not what we saw from who was it in Big Brother 17? Jeff and
Jackie.
Jackie. Yeah, they didn't come right from the Amazing Race with backpack.
They should have.
When it was Phil Kogan takeover week.
Yeah, didn't they just run right off the finish line into the Big Brother house?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Pretty sure that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Another big character from the premiere, of course, was Angela.
Angela, yes.
Yes. Well,
Taryn, I have a long history of standing Big Brother women named Angela. So I was right at home to fall in love with Queen Angela.
Yes. This is one of those people where, like, the second their package starts, you're like, yep. Definitely know why she was cast. Like, this is
the star of the show.
This is a character. She is like talking about how much money she has, and how she's like doesn't like to work hard. She likes having servants around. She wants to be, you know, Queen Bee. This is a fun one.
So her background is she grew up in Kenya, but she was like a rich person in Kenya.
She said the Beverly Hills of Kenya.
This is Beverly Hills of Kenya.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So Yeah, that's a setup. I had not heard that. I didn't even know there was a Beverly Hills of Kenya.
If I'm being honest, I'm not even entirely sure. Beverly Hills are in California somewhere, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And rich people live there, I assume.
That's the story. Yeah.
Well, there you go. I guess I got it.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, she's great. She's great. And I think the breakout star of Big Brother Australia.
Yes, she goes and she is horrified. What? Where's the tea?
Yeah.
Are you telling me there's no tea?
Yeah. And they told her, yeah, we're sorry. Tea is not part of your rations. Not, your default rations.
Not part of the rations? Yeah. Tea is not basic. Tea is a necessity.
Yeah, tea is pretty basic.
I mean, it is, but is it a necessity?
I don't know. Do you get coffee? I feel like you give them coffee. I feel like that's part of the basic necessities.
Coffee seems like a luxury.
Here's how you know. If I'm a have not, can I have this? If it is, then it should be. It's basic.
Yeah, see, I feel like you can't have coffee if you're a have not.
You can't have coffee if you're a have-not? No way. You can definitely have coffee if you're a have-not.
I don't know. I mean, I'm saying you shouldn't be able to have coffee if you're a have-not.
Well, no. People would go climb up the walls if you didn't exactly. Give them coffee when they're a have-not. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, she's very upset about the tea, and she gets into a little bit of an altercation with Big Brother, who says, this is my house. This is my house.
Yeah, Big Brother was very possessive of the whose house it is. It came up a couple times of Big Brother like really like laying down a law like, no, this is my house.
Yeah,
this is my house.
I like that. I like Big Brother with an attitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You like the snarky Big Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It was fun.
Yeah. So then we also got it seemed like there was a little bit. This is weirdly portrayed, but a little bit of like a connection between Daniel and Talia.
Yeah, it's a weird relationship. Yeah, Daniel is our default government mandated former footy player on Australian reality TV. And he's so
gonna probably talk about mateship at some point.
Mm-hmm, yeah, he played footy. He's tall. And then we have Talia, who I don't really know anything about Talia.
Yeah. I just know that she seems
a young
to
woman.
Like
she's blonde. Daniel. Yeah. She felt like that. Oh, I feel like that Daniel doesn't like me. And then Big Brother was like, no, I think he does. You should talk to him. And she was like, oh, really?
Yeah. I was a little bit confused. Like she didn't mean it when she said he didn't like her. She was like, he doesn't like me, I think, was the implication.
It seemed like that she wanted his attention.
Yeah.
He was not giving it to her. And then Big Brother pushed her to go talk to him. And then she seemed like that she was like giggling the whole time when he was talking to her.
Yeah, I think Big Brother's trying to take credit for this connection. But I don't think that this wouldn't have happened without Big Brother.
But Taryn, the weirder thing to me was that did Daniel accuse Talia of being a snorer? Was that their interaction? He said, like, well, we're going to sleep tonight, but you look like you're the snorer.
It was something like it definitely wasn't supposed to be him.
Yeah. Yeah. He was. So it's like it was kind of like he was like, teasing her or negging her in some ways. Like, hey, everybody, this girl right here, she's going to be the snorer tonight. But then plot twist, get this. Talia is not the snorer. In fact, Daniel himself is the horrible snorer. A true he who smelt it dealt it moment when he becomes the person who's actually like it's a weird thing. Nobody has ever said that to a woman before of like, hey, everybody, this person right here, this is going to be the snorer in the house. And then of all things, he is the ultimate snorer.
Yeah, it was bad, too. Like, it sounded bad. And they were very upset in the bedroom about his. I would have been incensed. I would have been very upset if somebody was very loudly snoring and keeping me from sleeping.
Yeah, Taryn, was this like a brilliant plan by Daniel to sort of like out the loud snorer in the group before? Like, he must know that this is a thing. And so to make everybody not be mad at him that he just like outed Talia as the major loud snorer in the house. And that when he goes to sleep, everyone's like, boy, Talia is real. Daniel was right. She is such a snorer.
I mean, maybe that was the strategy, but I'm not sure it worked.
It's bizarre. It was so weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And then afterwards, Big Brother is like, do you think it was your nose? You know how your nose is so big?
Yeah. Your nose is just so big.
Hey, turn your head. Let me get a good look at your big nose.
Let's see your profile.
Yeah. Oh, look at it.
Big Brother told Daniel that your nose is so big you could smoke in the rain.
So, like, they mean that, like, it's a little umbrella for the cigarette, right?
Yeah, it's like his nose is so long that it's a canopy that he could have a cigarette lit, and that rain could be coming down and it would protect the lit cigarette from going out.
I mean, is Big Brother's a bully?
Wasn't nice. Yeah,
who's bullying Daniel?
I mean, you should get banned from Twitter for saying that if you said that to a regular person. Daniel took it pretty well.
Yeah,
I would have been like, "Hey,
well, hey, man, chill."
Yeah, like, that was a little extra, Big Brother.
Yeah, but this is a big storyline too. Like, this is the kind of thing that, like, you know, in the absence of overt strategy, this is the kind of thing where, oh man, I was snoring last night. Now I'm in danger. People don't like it that I snored and they might vote me out because of it.
Yeah, I didn't get the sense that he was in too much danger because of that. It did seem like it was on people's nerves.
Yes, especially another big character from the premiere, Alan, who was very upset. Alan. It was very talkative throughout the episode.
Yeah, Alan was really, you know, presented as sort of like the strategic mastermind of what was going on, that he is appears to be like a real shark when it comes to business, and was coming in playing very hard on the first episode.
Yes, he's the guy that talks as though he's a mastermind, but then you never see any of it.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Talk to big game.
Yes. You know, there's going to be a winner, and the winner is me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. So,
I mean,
a little bit of a Nick Juhas, would you say?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. Nick at least had something going on. I'm not sure if Alan has anything going on here from the premiere that, you know, it seems like some people were a little bit annoyed at how talkative he was. I like him, though. Like, I like this presence on the show. I think it's a necessary one because nobody else is really talking about strategy in the same way.
Yeah, he is his mom's favorite. Mm-hmm. His mom wants to cook for him. And so I feel like that he was, I thought, very fun in the first episode, Alan.
Yes, definitely. And then, I mean, did anybody else stand out to you? Because I can't say.
Who else was a standout that we didn't really talk about here? I mean, those are pretty much the major players. We do talk a lot about Zoe.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about her. Well, I don't really know.
She got like nominated, right? But it didn't amount to much.
And then some other people show up, but they don't really have too much to do. Xavier is another guy.
I literally have
Matt,
all of them in front
Matt
of me.
With the bald head. Yeah. Marissa, the older aerobics instructor.
Yes.
Is another person.
Of course, Laura, who is going to become the first one out. But I really didn't get much of a sense of like what pissed people off.
Yeah. You know what? So it really was, I mean, I feel like that to me, this was the thing that made the whole premiere less fun, to have Laura be the first person to be voted out. I mean, I think it's definitely been talked about, the issues with casting. You know, we talk about it a ton with U.S. Big Brother and with U.S. Survivor in terms of diversity casting. And Big Brother Canada has probably done the best job of these different shows. But the Australian reality shows, this has definitely been a problem with those. And of course, we get Laura, and it starts with, you know, the same sorts of things that you heard in Big Brother 21 with, like, why did Kemi ultimately be one of the four people that Jackson got nominated? We hear when it's Talia, who is the HOH, she talks about how it's like, oh, I feel like that she just didn't try to get to know me. It's just the same story. You should make an effort with me. And you heard like the same type of things that you heard when people are looking for just a way to nominate a person who is a minority, who's different than the rest of the house. Just a lot of familiar language that we've heard on these shows when people are looking for reasons just to vote out a minority first on these shows.
Yes, that's definitely the sense that I got. There's like this one scene where they're talking about like making food, and she's like, oh, I know how to do this, and she takes the binder, and like that was the scene that was supposed to explain, yes, like why she was on the outs in the house. It was super weird.
Yes, the one little bit that we heard about her, you know, she's very strong-willed, and that she was taking control of the ration situation. That was it. After that, we saw nothing on the show of anything that she did that was like nearly as bad as Dan snoring all night.
Yes. Well, I mean, did you notice how she looked at Talia when she won the HOH?
Yeah, it's, you know, very, very frustrating to, yeah, you know, have this be the case of, you know, another Big Brother season to get started in this same very familiar way.
Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, the HOH competition is, I actually liked this. It was, they were swinging back and forth on their stomachs, mm-hmm, and they had to, yeah, gain enough momentum to place balls into little cups.
Yes.
And they had 50 balls total, which felt like a lot to me. It's 50 balls total. They had to get five
ran out
cups. Yeah, nobody ran out, right?
I thought this one, somebody did.
Oh, maybe somebody did.
I don't know. Maybe they fell out.
I think my biggest complaint about the competition is that it took a little too long. That's, I was like starting to be like, all right, guys, let's finish up here.
Yeah, I mean, they had a whole apparatus. I guess they do their challenges in the basement. They told them to go to the basement to go do this thing, and they had to swing back and forth. Yeah, it did take a little bit. I felt like that Dan had a big advantage being tall.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
But ultimately, Talia is going to win.
Yes. I was wondering if they set it up so that the height would be different depending on the person.
Oh, I don't
person.
Know. But, yeah.
Yeah, you would have thought that he would have an advantage. But, you know, I think a lot of people, they didn't have a very good strategy. They mm-hmm. were relying on like using like pushing instead of trying to get higher. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's going to come down to Talia versus Laura, and Talia is going to win it.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, first HOH for Talia.
Yes. And so how this works is, it seemed like right after the HOH, pretty much, she just goes straight into the diary room and names three people.
Yeah, she named three people, and first name out of her mouth, Laura. She didn't make an effort with me, so it's not on me.
Yeah.
It's on Laura. She didn't get to know me. And then second is Kieran. He's too weird. He's playing the game. And then she like seems to have a breakdown to get a third. Like, she had no problem giving two names.
Yeah.
And then they want a third name, and she's like, oh, I just like everybody so much. Like, well, you had no problem giving those first two names.
Yeah. And she names Zoe, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Yes. You know, it was like a cliffhanger. I was like, oh, that must be the person that goes home.
Right. Like, and this is kind of like three nominees. I feel like you have to justify three nominees. Why three and not two? And I don't think this first episode justified that choice at all, because it, pretty immediately Zoe becomes a non-entity.
Yep. Yep. Three nominees in every iteration we've seen in Big Brother US. I'm not sure if has Canada done it. Have they ever had three nominees?
For triples, at least. Yeah. And like a twist here and there, they'll put up a third nominee.
Three nominees is bad. We see it in the final three on Survivor. We see it on when the Big Brother US tries to do it. Get it down to two.
Yes. Yeah.
This or that.
Yep.
not three things.
So then also Big Brother is going to announce who is nominated. They're all kind of like sitting around. I also I feel like it's better to have the HOH announce it. Make them say it.
Yeah. 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 She basically got to go and do her nominations and she didn't have to vote. So it's sort of like what's done.
Yeah. So it's right away. It's time to campaign. And this is very Survivor, right? Like now they have like the afternoon to campaign and then the vote is going to take place that night.
Yeah. And I feel like that there was a lot of misdirect going on.
Yes, that I think another complaint that I would have so far is that there was very little explanation as to what actually happened. It feels like
right.
We got the perspective of like Laura and Kieran and not the perspective of the house and like what actually was going on while they were busy running around.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, there's going to be six votes for Laura. It's Angela, it's Casey, it's Daniel, it's Ian, it's Matt, and it's Xavier. No idea, you know, why exactly that happened.
Yeah, and I can tell you, having watched episode two, there is no explanation in the future.
Yeah, Marissa and Alan voted for Zoe. Again, no real sense of why that happened. And then there were also did Kieran get no votes?
I think he got two votes from both Zoe and Laura.
Okay.
So the two people on the block voted for him.
Oh, the people on the block got it to vote.
Yeah. Yeah. All three of them.
Okay. All right. Should they get to vote?
I think they should.
It's three people.
Yeah, because there's three people. So, you know, you might as well. It's not a situation where they're just canceling each other out at that point.
Right. So in Big Brother US, if they do three nominees, should they let the nominees vote?
Yeah, sure.
Who cares? Yeah.
So it's going to be Laura that goes home. And so, but there's this whole storyline about Kieran, you know, he's playing too hard. He's playing the game. He's campaigning. There's definitely, you know, it feels like this cast is not quite ready for strategic gameplay.
Well, you know, the thing that, to go back to your first point to start off the podcast of why this is less than ideal, where that this is sort of the Big Brother game, but it's the Survivor sort of post-production cycle where they know who's in the final three. So that if Kieran ends up in the final three, like the show can be engineered where that the person that they want to be the winner of the show gets the most favorable edit. Mm-hmm. And it's not like Big Brother US where they're editing it in real time, where they don't know from the beginning who's getting the, you know, which edit to start things off. This entire show has been filmed. So whatever outcome they want to have happen in this final vote, I think it's very easy to like have a thumb on the scale
for sure. And I think that Russell Hance played the wrong Australian game because if this is how Survivor works, you're looking at two-time winner Russell Hance.
Two-time. Well, I'm not sure if he wins the second time.
Didn't he? I feel like I just read that he won a vote in Heroes Villains too, but maybe I'm wrong on that one.
Did he win Sprint Fan Favorite in Heroes versus Villains? I don't know. He might have been riding the popularity. I'm not sure if he outflanked Parvati to be most popular, but that's possible.
I was surprised when I read that, so it's very possible that it's wrong.
Yeah. But I don't know if people would have voted for him to per se win that game. They might have been like voting to right the injustice that he was wronged in the previous season. That might have been weighing in on how people were voting for Sprint fan favorite.
Oh, yeah. Well, here it is. Russell Hantz, two-time fan favorite winner. Second place in Heroes versus Villains was actually Rupert.
Oh, okay. All right. So, boy, Rupert is still living off of that Survivor America's player.
Yeah. I mean, they already gave him $1 million for it. So,
yeah, it's closing in. But I do think that Kieran seemed to be like the production favorite coming in. And then Angela, I think, is also going to be a big darling of the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what it feels like. I mean, like, I think they're not afraid to poke fun of Angela as well. That I don't know if she's going to be like, I think she's meant to be like, some people will love her, some people will hate her.
Yeah, she's like that classic Big Brother personality where she's getting like a ton of diary rooms. Like, I feel like the Big Brother Canada for like Cassandra type mm-hmm. character.
Yeah, yes. So far, I'm loving Angela. So far, she's mm-hmm. bringing me a lot more than most other people. Yeah, so far.
Yeah. Like to go back to some of those older seasons that we watched, like an Amy Cruz,
yes,
or
yes,
Marcellus,
very like, Amy Cruz.
Yeah. Just like a lot of just their perspective on the events of the house.
Just swap out tea for cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited to see more Angela. I'd love to keep going with Big Brother Australia. Now, I felt like it was I felt like I was able to get a link very easily. I'm not sure how like a widely dispersed they are. I think that we did have them available very easily in the Patreon Big Brother Facebook group.
Yes. There's always an abundance of links for any show that you need in there.
Yeah. And so I thought that it was very easy to get a hold of. I didn't have to I have found it more difficult to watch Big Brother Canada than this was. Yeah. The Big Brother Canada links I find sometimes are incredibly difficult to track down, where if I don't watch it live, I feel like sometimes it's like 2 or 3 days before links get posted and not taken down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I found the same thing. I find it very easy to watch.
Yeah, so that was easy. That was easy to do. And I felt like the production wise, it looked good.
The house looks great.
House looks better than the U.S. Big Brother house, which is like damning with faint praise.
Yeah, the Big Brother, the Big Brother U.S. house is like, 15, 16 years old now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not great. Not great. I mean, if you were going to burn a Big Brother house to the ground, I'm just saying. and then it was, so I felt like it was fun to keep up with, although I don't love a constant influx of new characters. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the evictions are going to be coming hot and heavy though.
Yes, I think that there's some promise here. I think mm-hmm. there are some things that they need to iron out, and I'm curious to see whether they get that on track during the season. Maybe it'll take kind of like first experiment, and then if they come back for a second season, they're able to get it right. But I'm interested to see what they do moving forward, and I'll keep checking it out, and we'll keep covering it.
Yeah. Well, in a time when there is no Big Brother, very few new reality shows on the air right now, I think that we'll take what we can get here with Big Brother Australia.
Yes. Yes, we certainly will.
Yes. Taryn, I really enjoyed your Big Brother 22 casting primer from this week with Matt Liguori and Amon.
Yes. Rumors abound that Big Brother 22 might be all-stars, might be returning players.
Yeah, I actually was more excited about Big Brother 22 after listening to you guys, because you went through it like season by season. And I think that like in my mind, I'm like, they probably can't get this big name, probably can't get this big name. But I think that over the last like 5 or 6 seasons, I think there are a lot of intriguing casting choices that I had not really been thinking about that were on my radar, like people like Johnny Mack that I sort of like I had forgotten about. And that I thought you made a very compelling argument for why Paul should be back. Yeah. I think that there's a lot that a lot of people like that.
Yeah, I agree. In going through it, actually felt like I was convinced. I was like finding out myself, like, I actually do feel like there's a pretty good cast in here. It's just a matter of like do enough of them say yes? And, you know, does casting make the right choices to get those people on? Yeah. And I feel like casting will probably make some bad choices, and I feel like some good people will probably say no, but I think that we could end up with like at least a half good cast, and a half good All-Star cast is pretty good. I mean, if you think back to, you know, the first All-Stars, you know, it was a great cast, but you know, it wasn't like it wasn't the best cast that it could have been at the time.
For the record, a half good cast would be the best Big Brother cast in 15 years.
Yes, exactly.
Also, who's saying no to this? What else does anybody have going on right now? Like, I understand, like, I have babies at home. Okay, I've got it. Okay,
there's a lot of family, them that have babies at home.
Your babies at home. I get it. Believe me. It would be, I can understand what that decision could potentially be like. But to, like, there's nothing else happening. This is just go play Big Brother. What do you have to lose?
I don't know.
Did you have other plans this summer?
I don't think it's always a positive experience playing the game.
That's
out.
What you make of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think you do have some level of control over, you know, how it goes.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I'm with you. I think a lot of them get screwed.
You get screwed.
Yeah. I think it'll be fun. I think, and I also like, especially if it's called All-Stars, like, it's pretty rare. Like, Big Brother doesn't do All-Star seasons. To be on the All-Star season is a level of prestige that not many Big Brother players can claim. So, I think that in and of itself is a lot of incentive.
The show will be huge, that it will have very little competition. It's great exposure as long as you're not a stupid idiot on the live feeds. And then I think that it would be great. I mean, if they called me to go to Big Brother tomorrow, I'd say go in a heartbeat. When could you pick me up?
What's Robin Cass? Are you listening to this Big Brother Australia podcast?
Yeah.
Get Rob on Big Brother.
Why not? Why? I mean, what's the problem? Oh, my legacy. I don't want to hurt my legacy. Like, I think there's maybe five people that maybe should have, like, give pause of, like, oh, I should go back, that don't have, like, young children at home.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's not many people on Big Brother that have enough of a legacy to bother risk, you know, to need to worry about risking it.
Yeah. I mean, go do it. What's the hold up?
Yeah.
People are, they take, you know, are like really just take themselves too seriously with this. Just go back. Who cares? And I think the difference between Big Brother and Survivor, okay, you lose, you then you go home. That's it.
Yeah. No. No Ponderosa.
Yeah. Okay. Or I have to go to the jury, and it's like 60 days. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it could be 100, but
yeah. You know what? I just stayed in my house for 60 days. No problem. No big deal. I'll do another 60 before I go anywhere.
Oh, man. Yes. Rob, they got to get you on the phone with these people.
Yeah. Who needs the talking to? Yeah. I'll talk to anybody who is having reservations. I understand, like, okay, like as Amon called them, the three D's of Dan, Derek, and the doctor. I understand if those three people in particular have reservations of, like, yeah, I don't know. I get it if you're those three people. But other than that, I think there's very few people that should, like, really have a lot of pause about this.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you.
Not pause about this. All right, I also want to say I've been enjoying the Big Brother 4 blockumentary with you and Frail Mary.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun. And I've really been enjoying, like really getting into the weeds and figuring out what's been happening on the live feeds as well, because that's, like, I've watched this season a few times already, but I've never really been able to, like, do a deep dive into the live feeds. And so getting this, like, sort of extra glimpse of the players and how they really were at the time has been really valuable for me.
Yeah. I watch a lot of the Big Brother live feeds for Big Brother 2 and 3. I don't think I spent a lot of time on the Big Brother 4 live feeds. I don't think there was anybody that I just at the time was just really like, oh, I have to, like, I love Dr. Will and, you know, people like Marcellus and Danielle really popped for me, that there wasn't anybody that I was like, just absolutely, I have to follow their every move on a live feeds on Big Brother 4.
Yeah, it definitely took a little while to get some breakout strategic players in Big Brother 4. And that's kind of where we're about to jump into in the next couple of blockumentary episodes, where, you know, Ali and, of course, June really start to break the mold and start really showing what floating can do.
OK. All right. Well, looking forward to seeing that.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining me here, Rob.
It's always a pleasure to get to talk. We haven't gotten to podcast about anything since the day after the Big Brother or the Survivor finale. So it's been a minute.
Yes. Yes, it has. It feels like it's been forever since the Survivor.
It's a couple days away from a month from the Survivor finale.
It feels so much longer than that to me, at least.
So does every day.
But we'll be back. I'll have some more coverage of Big Brother Australia. We'll talk about the full first week of the show. That'll probably drop sometime a day after this one or so. So you can look out for that. And then, we're still kind of gauging what kind of, coverage schedule this will look like. But I think probably something like once per week, we'll check in, we'll recap the week. We'll talk about what's been going on in the Big Brother Australia house.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. I've been also doing a lot of these off-season podcasts, just talking about different concepts and moments and all sorts of things in Big Brother or Survivor. I haven't talked about Survivor yet, but I could. And stuff like that. So you can check those out on the Wrap-Ups feed or whatever show I'm talking about in the podcast itself. And then, yeah, of course, check out the blockumentary. Rob, what have you got going on?
Oh, we got some fun Survivor stuff coming up again up on robhasawebsite.com. So be on the lookout for that. And then we're also going back through different weeks in Survivor history on the Wiggle Room and the B&B and Why Blank Lost all summer long. We just talked about another throwback to Survivor, the Australian Outback. Speaking of Australia, episode 2 of that season talked about Kel and the beef jerky and much more with Josh Wiggler.
Well, there you go. I've been rewatching Survivor Borneo on Twitch.
Yes, yes. How's that?
It's interesting. It's watching Jeff be like little Jeff.
Yeah,
it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I felt like when I watched it a couple of years ago, I felt like it held up better than I thought it would. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's. I think I just watched the merger episode.
Yes.
And
classic episode.
I felt like the first half of it was pretty bad, pretty slow. But the second half of it was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, the Jenna and Sean meeting.
Yeah, that was
they really, really were hoping for a hookup there.
Yeah, he like kisses her to like greet her, and Jeff goes, "Ooh, I like it."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not going to happen.
Yeah. But that's what's going on. And of course, make sure if you are not already, become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. And so you can join these wonderful Facebook groups and you can meet all of these lovely people who will help you watch things if you have trouble finding how to watch them.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I got a lot of stuff going on our patron podcast feed, patron trivia night, and a lot more going on at robswebsite.com/patron.
All right. Thank you guys again for joining us, and I will see you next time.